Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Hello, happy holidays, everybody. Leo Laporte here with my pimp friend, Ayaz Akhtar.
Yeah, it's hard to tell who I am under this thing, but here I am.
You look like Zorro.
Yes, this is Ian, my name.
We thought it'd be fun to, instead of working on Christmas week, taking this rehash of old shows you've probably already seen and try to make something new. It's kind of like the meatloaf of Know-How.
I wouldn't call it that. I figure this. You guys have time off. You want to do a lot of projects? Well, we've got it all packed in this one episode. It's like meatloaf, but better.
I'm just the crumb. So, without further, we're just going to tell you, though. Coming up, you're going to see how to ditch your landline, how to solder, how to jailbreak, how to get free HDTV, how to make a Hackintosh, and how to program an Arduino. All of that in the next half hour of Know-How. Ho, 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 ho.
Hi, Ayaz Akhtar.
Hi, Leo Laporte.
This is the show where we show you how to do stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Stuff you might want to do. At least we hope so. Well, you know what? The truth is, it's the stuff Ayaz wants to do.
Well, yeah.
Basically.
Basically, I've used technology to basically break all the rules. Like, I got rid of my landline phone a long time ago.
You don't have a telephone.
I don't have a cell phone.
What? Wait a minute. You don't have a telephone and you don't have a cell phone?
Yes, I'm the weirdo.
Because that's usually what people do. They say, oh, well, I've already paid for a cell phone. Why do I need a telephone? But you got rid of everything.
I got rid of everything.
Can I call you in any way?
Yeah, you can, actually, because I have lots of different solutions to take care of that, because I don't like paying a bill every month. That's a simple case
so
when it comes to this.
So it's really about saving money.
Well, yeah, that, and I apparently move around a lot. My phone numbers come with me.
That's cool.
Kind of neat.
There's one caveat on this solution, which is that 911 may not work
because
they don't know where you are.
But there's a couple. We're going to go over a couple
products.
We'll
talk about that.
Yeah, we'll
okay.
get to that.
So is this VoIP?
This is VoIP, the first thing we're going to look
Voice
at.
Voice over Internet Protocol. It's using your Internet connection. So you do have an Internet connection.
You do have to pay for your Internet connection.
Okay.
Odds are, well, that's the thing I really love. And that's the first thing I ask for when I get set up in a new place. I go, Internet. I don't care about TV and I don't care about phone. Give me the Internet.
It's funny you should say that. I was looking at a new place yesterday. And I don't, exactly. The last thing I care, floors, I don't know. What stove, I don't care. What's the Internet like here? And the real estate agent had no idea. No idea. So I went around and I looked. Oh, good. Cable. Good. All right. Good. We got. Okay. I'll move. Because you got to have internet.
In New York, I was next door to this place. I moved to this corner place. And I'm like, going to put in my number for Fios. Wasn't available. I put in my neighbor's number. It was available. So I called up Verizon. I'm like, yes. I had back then a blazing 2525.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And you'd need upload speed back then. Or at least upload speed now is really important.
So this isn't going to eliminate your need to connect to the outside world. It just means that you're already paying for an internet connection, so you're going to use that for your phone service. What do you use, Skype?
Skype is, yes, there's a lot of different things you've got to add to Skype to make it like a real phone, because you want to be able to call real phone numbers, and you want to be able to receive calls. And Skype actually breaks this out into two separate products. So if you want to make a phone call, you can buy Skype credits, and that goes as you use them up.
I'm sorry, you got to slow down.
Sure.
So I'm trying to understand this. Skype, I use a computer, call another computer.
Right.
That's normal Skype. I have Skype running on my Mac. You have Skype running on your Windows machine. I type in your Skype handle, and I can call you. There's even video, which is nice. And the audio is good. We use Skype all the time here. But what about phone lines? How do I integrate that in?
Yeah, so I always forget about this. I've been using Skype as a regular phone for so long.
Yeah, it's computer to computer,
right.
As
Everyone
far as I'm
it's
concerned.
Just, it's not just Skype to Skype. You can make calls to regular phone lines.
So that you can Skype out.
Right, but there's a charge for that.
Okay.
Or if you want to receive a call and you want to have an actual phone number, you can get a number from Skype.
That's a Skype in.
Right.
So those are the three services, Skype to Skype, Skype out, and Skype in.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the thing is, if you're willing to call just the U.S. or Canada, you get unlimited calling for a whopping $3 a month.
That's a great deal.
Now, that's really cheap. So the thing is, are you going to be using
up? And that's to regular landline phones, cell phones, mm-hmm. and other Skype. It's everybody.
Right. And there's other plans. If you want to call Europe, it's $9 a month. Unlimited North America, $8 a month. These are really low costs.
You know, when Abby spent a year in high school, in junior year in high school in France, that's instead of worrying about cell phones and SIMs and all of that stuff, I spent $99 for a year and she had unlimited calling from her computer in France to any phone in the United States. So she stayed in touch with her friends. She stayed in touch with us. It worked great.
If you go back to that screenshot, the Unlimited has a nice little super script thing. It's number three. What that means is...
That's a footnote. What does that mean?
There's a little fair use policy when it comes to this. You might not notice this right away. I looked into this because... Skype wants to make sure you're not abusing their services, whatever that could possibly mean. It's sort of unlimited.
I know what it means. Okay, I had a girlfriend in Arizona. I was in Connecticut. I would call her about 8 o'clock. We'd talk. Then I'd fall asleep, and I'd left the phone off the hook. She left the phone off the hook till the next morning, and then I'd say good morning. That is not fair use.
Absolutely.
You should see the phone bill I got.
All calls are disconnected and require redial after 2 hours.
That's really important.
So if you are on a really long call, you will have to say after 2 hours, I need to say bye and call you back. I've never run into this personally because I can't talk that much. I can't even put the phone on hold that long. I don't know if any of my devices would survive 6 hours on the phone. So you can get rid of
that. It was a dumb thing. Believe me, I was a kid. I didn't know any better.
So to receive a call.
$2,000 phone bill that month. I don't know why I thought, oh, it won't cost anything.
You could have just redialed in the morning.
I should have.
But I guess you wanted to make sure you hear the snoring or that
exactly.
The breathing.
Yeah.
To receive calls, you need a Skype online number.
Okay,
it's a separate service.
Is that a number like a regular phone number? Like it'll say 415-555-1212? I mean, like a regular phone number.
Any person with a phone number with a regular phone can call you up if you give out this number. So it's $18 for 3 months, whole year for $60.
That's not bad.
You actually get a discount if you put them together. The subscription for Skype
in out and out.
So when you put them together, you get a bit of a deal.
Can I port my existing number to Skype and vice versa? I guess I can.
I don't believe you can do that with Skype. There are other services that let you do that. You can add another layer with like Google Voice where you port it to Google Voice and then point it to Skype.
Okay.
But I don't believe you can port your number to Skype.
So you're going to have a unique Skype number that'll be a new number for you. But I still think that price, $60 a year, that's a great deal.
Is incredibly cheap. But here's the deal, right? Maybe you want to use your old handsets, right?
Oh, yeah. What am I using?
Okay, obviously you can use your computer if you want to. You can wear a headset and sit there at your computer or use your microphone, go into your studio.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. I use my laptop all the time for calls using Google Voice. And the microphone and speakers on my laptop are better than any speakerphone I've ever used. People don't even know I'm on a speakerphone. And that's really convenient. So that's not so bad. But can you get a handset if you want?
You can get a handset. And by the way, if you have like old cell phones sitting around and they can run Skype, you can use those as your handsets.
Oh, yeah,
don't forget that.
Sure.
Like I look over at the shelves over there. There's like a Palm Pixie. If they have Skype for webOS, I could just run it on that and use it.
It doesn't need cell service. It just needs Wi-Fi, or internet.
It's just a computer service. So you don't need to have a contract at all. So I used to use my old cheap phones for that too. I would keep them around the house just as a Skype handset.
Yeah. But Skype also sells landlines.
Yeah, they do, and they haven't. I used to use them a couple of years ago. They haven't really improved. We show the shop.skype.com site.
Yeah, this is it.
There's one adapter called FreeTalk, and it allows you to hook up your handsets to this box. It works independently of your computer.
And that thing is connected to the internet. So it's really just a little computer with a handset.
Right, and this is one of the best ones. It's got 3 stars out of 5. If you look at the GE cordless one underneath, you'll see it's 2 stars out of 5.
Oh.
And because, you know what, I've used the GE one. And I got to say, it had some of the worst build quality I've ever used. It's very expensive, and customers don't like it. So I don't recommend using Skype with your handsets unless you have to.
But let me point out, if you buy the FreeTalk, you can use a solid gold handset if you want. You can use any telephone handset. Because at that point, what's coming out of the FreeTalk is just like what's coming out of your wall when you have regular phone service, right?
In theory, you think it'd work that way. But sometimes I've always found it better to do a Skype call from my computer. For some reason, using these adapters, for Skype in particular, has been sometimes iffy. I don't know if it's negotiating a password or not.
That adapter, the FreeTalk adapter, remember, that is a computer, but it's not a very fast computer. It's kind of a cheap computer, and so maybe it's just not keeping up.
As a $60 computer, you get it when you pay
for
it.
How good could it? It's a Raspberry Pi, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so again, you can...
How good could it
be? You can replace your landline with a Skype in and out. I recommend using it for calls on your laptop. On my iPad, I have Google Voice attached to this, and Skype runs in the background, so I can receive calls on this. I look like a lunatic when I do that, because it's a speakerphone, effectively. But you can do that on any machine.
So use a computer, use an old cell phone. You can go to the Skype store and buy FreeTalk or other... there must be a name for what those devices are. They connect to the internet, and then you connect a phone. It's an interface, an adapter, a telephone adapter interface that would connect you to Skype.
Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to burn Leo right now.
Okay, just solder my finger right to that wire.
All right, so what you're going to do, if you move your finger, you're going to do is you're going to place the soldering iron, and you're trying to touch both the pad and the lead at the same time.
You're heating them both up.
Right, that's what you're doing. You're going to heat it for a couple, like a second, and then you're going to touch the pad. And I forgot to tin first, because you should tin often.
You tin each time you do this? Or
you don't have to tin each time. But
pretty regularly, huh?
Because if you have a better soldering iron, it would do a better job.
Right.
Let's see if I can get this over. Let's breathe in the fumes as much as possible. I'm kidding, by the way. Do not breathe in the fumes if you can.
If you over-solder, there's a little thing that is helpful called a solder wick.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they call it a braid because it looks like braided metal, and you can use it to suck solder up off of.
So if you can see it right now,
over-soldered. You don't want too much solder. You want just enough.
What happens is the solder follows the heat. So I placed it on the opposite side while the soldering iron was touching both the lead and the pad. And you can see around the lead that there's solder everywhere. So that's made. Leo, do you want to give it a try?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to retin.
I have sausage fingers.
Okay, well, I have shaky hands, so this is a really great combo. I'm going to try to put this one on there.
This is why you can see helping hands. I'm actually holding this for IS.
Yeah.
It is actually helpful to have a partner. In fact, this might be a good thing to do with a friend or if you have a child or you want to teach electronics to do it together.
I'm trying to get it. There we go. You can see it's kind of going around there. And you're going to leave it alone there. What you want to do when
that's
you're
nice.
Done.
I think that's a pretty good solder. That looks good.
When you're done with your project, you want to make
sure. You see the component on the other side there.
Oh, that's actually pretty awful. But. But, you know, we're just trying to show.
Exactly make it flush, but it'll work.
It'll definitely work, and it can be ugly because it's going to work anyway. The point is it's electrical.
This is a great little kit for, I think a kid, a 9 or 10-year-old, 11-year-old, be very excited to make a siren.
It's something. So when you have, let's say you're finished with your project, you want to clean your soldering iron tip, right? So
that's what that sponge is
for. Yeah, so this has water. You want to clean
it off. You moistened it ahead of time, yeah.
You want to clean it as much as you can. Let's see if we can get in close again. I'm going to show you what a clean one is supposed to look like. That'd be this guy. Let's see if I can get it.
Yeah, the focal point is fairly tight there.
And this is one of my old ones. Let's see here. See this corroded piece of junk?
Yeah.
This is because I was not cleaning it very often.
Okay.
So if you're smart, you'll get replaceable tips on these things and make sure you don't have them look like this. Do yourself a favor and keep your soldering iron tip clean because the rest of this is not important. That tip is what makes everything work.
You can also, by the way, it's not just fathers and daughters, mothers, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, fathers and daughters, mothers and sons can do this. I didn't mean to be sexist.
Yeah, everybody can do
this. Everybody can do this.
So
you should.
I don't know if I can finish doing this entire thing.
I don't think we're going to have time. It's only a half-hour show. This is easily an evening's project, though, and maybe a couple of nights. You don't want to rush through this. One of the things you're teaching and why it's so good for a kid to learn this is patience, methodical attention to detail. That's a great skill for a kid to learn.
And it opens the doors to so many other things. Once you have this skill down, and you're doing a better job than I am in doing this, you'll be able to do much more complex projects because this is just the beginning. There are a lot of other kits. I mean, there's still the AM radio kit if you want to try that out.
Yeah.
There are great things out that you can try. What my personal experience with soldering was I took an old janky camera from like this no-name company. I removed their little cruddy microphone, and I put a microphone in onto it. So I was able to use a high-quality microphone with a camera, and it worked really well. It just took me a little longer because I was a novice at the time, but you could really make some powerful hardware out of, like, low-end stuff.
Right.
So enough of the actual theoretical.
Enough disclaimers.
Let's actually go do something, all right? So this is my personal iPod Touch.
I'm going to use our PTZ
fourth
camera.
Generation.
I'm going to get the shot over to, I said, wait a minute. Let's press the button.
Okay, so if you guys don't know, if you're new to the show, Leo has control of a camera, the PTZ.
No, he doesn't.
Remote control. And what I'm going to do, by the way, is I'm going to take my iPod Touch. I looked this up. It's running iOS 5.1.1. And
rebooting. We'll have control of the camera a little later.
I want to get more out of my iPod.
So this is this is not an iO. This is not an iPhone. This is an iPod Touch.
iPod Touch.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to a site called iPhoneHacks.com, which is a fantastic website. Explains everything drop dead easy. We have listed
iPhoneHacks.com.
Listed steps. You should know what kind of device you have, and it'll point you to some software. So what we're going to do is we're going to get Red Snow. Now,
I got to say, immediately,
These look like hackers. Look at that, that O in red snow. That's, is that a zero?
Yes.
That's these guys
are elite. That's speak.
I'm scared. Should I be scared?
You should not be scared. The thing is, everything is so easily laid out. The UI on this is, it's so friendly. You're like, wow, this is a great application. I wish I could just get it very simply. And it works fine. So what I'm going to do is going to get red snow 0.9.14 beta 2.
Now, how did you know to get 0.9.14 beta 2?
Okay, so...
And where would I find that out? Is that also an iPhone
hack? On iPhone hacks, they ask you, which device do you have? Okay. You click a link, and then you'll get to a guide that shows you your proper device. I'm also going to jailbreak my iPad 3 later on for myself. And you can have, if you have older devices, all kinds of tutorials for each device.
So it's not merely the hardware. It's the version of the hardware and the version of iOS that's on there that you have to match. Exactly. That's the main reason people brick this stuff. They don't match it. Exactly.
And that information, is you can find that very easily. So if you have an iPod, you connect it to iTunes, it'll show you what version it is. Or if you want, you can find out right from the device by going to Settings and About, and you'll get that information.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is download that Red Snow, which I've done previously, and I just have to find it, which is always fun.
And this, I'm going to say this while you're looking, is, again, this is legal. You own this device. You're allowed to do this. Apple isn't thrilled about you doing this. And they made a lot of excuses when this became very common, saying, well, it might void your warranty. Oh, it might cause problems with cell phone sites and hackers. The most important caveat, I think, is, A, what we just said, do it with the right software for your device and operating system. And, B, be careful what apps you put on your system. Almost all of the jailbreak apps are fine. But there are some malicious apps out there, and you're basically saying, I'm no longer going to use apps vetted by Apple. I'm going to use apps I get from other sources.
So one of the first steps, the first step with this iPod is to turn it off. So we're going to wait for this
to... Wait a minute. Let me go ahead and do that.
Slide to power off.
I have to PTZ us.
You find us in the PTZ. So this device is turning itself off.
Okay.
And I'm running the Red Snow software, and the application...
So it runs... Is it only on the Mac? Can you run this on Windows?
There's Windows software as well.
Okay.
There's actually a button. It says jailbreak and extras. So just click jailbreak.
Let's see your screen. Can we see your screen?
Yes, we can.
I want to see that button.
Let's show the button.
Okay.
You got the PTZ going? This is like live.
Oh, I pressed the wrong button.
Let's break stuff. What camera do we got now? So the PTZ is going crazy.
Okay, wait a minute.
Do we have my screen, Colin?
Yes.
We had it before.
Okay. So there's my screen. Let me go back and I'll show you. It says jailbreak right here. I wish we could zoom in. Let's see if I can do that.
There we go.
Hit jailbreak.
Well, that's about as simple a UI as...
Yep.
So the guys who write... Who is it? Who are the guys who write this stuff?
The iPhone dev team. That's what they do. They just affect... They've been breaking iPhones or jailbreaking iPhones for a very long time now. And so let's
And
see.
They don't waste a lot of energy on user interface design. Mm-hmm. There's a button. That's all you need.
Make sure the device is both off and plugged in. All the instructions are actually in the software. If it's not, plug the device into the computer first... Then slide the power off.
Okay. Well, have we done that?
Yes, it's powered off.
Okay. Let's look here. Wait a minute. I got to check because I don't. Okay. It's not coming on. It's off. All right.
Now there's a sequence of events that are actually explained in the software. So I need to grab that.
It's on the PTZ. Oh, you need this now.
Yeah.
Because
there are actually some physical things you have to do to the iPod or iPhone while you're doing this. So you have to put this into a special mode. Hold down the power button in the corner for 2 seconds. And there's a countdown on the screen.
You're going to put it in what's called DFU mode.
That's right. So I'm holding down the home button for 5 seconds. And again, there's a timer on the device. On the software.
It's nice that they put that in.
And you let go of the power button. You're holding the home button down for another 11 seconds.
This is a mode that's actually built into iOS devices that allows you to rewrite the firmware when the device is wrecked. Borked.
Now, if you can see my screen, it's already doing the work. Now, it looks like they give you a lot more time than you need to hold the power button, the home button, and everything. And if we can get a shot of the iPod, you're going to see it reboot. There's going to be some different things showing up there.
Do you have my PTZ? Because I finally got a shot. Look at that.
We just got to be careful.
So are we going to see something?
Very soon. Just don't disconnect that cable because we have a lot of stuff. If we go back to my screen.
Can I do something to this that would be so horrendous that I would no longer have use of my iPod Touch?
I would, if you disconnect the cable, possibly that's a really bad idea.
Now look at these checkboxes at the bottom. These are some options you have.
Right. Now install. Now I call it Cydia. I'm sure it's actually
Cydia
because the maker of this app store You've talked to him.
I know him, and he's great.
And that's where you can get a lot of great applications that Apple doesn't allow. So
there are a number of third-party app stores, but Cydia is probably the best known.
It's well known, and it's actually very well organized as well. And
Some other check marks. Oh, there we go. We're seeing something. What is it saying there?
Downloading network data. It's really tiny. No, sorry, it's jailbreak data.
Now they're actually running some software on here.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Now that's not something you normally.
That's scary.
Yeah, that looks terrifying normally.
I'm scared.
You don't want to see that, but it's okay. Everything's going great. Now,
I'm scared.
I'm nervous because it says, please wait, please wait. Now, when I did this yesterday, testing it out myself, I had to stop myself from doing something stupid. You ever just want to do something crazy, like just pull that cable out? Yeah, absolutely normal.
So be patient. If it says please wait, do.
Please wait. I know, I'm like that guy who pushed that elevator button 100 times, so I just didn't want to mess with it.
What you're seeing really is what looks like a Unix-style operating system in its boot-up mode. This is command line text.
The software says right now the rest of this process takes place on the device. So everything that's going to happen now will be on the iPod Touch itself. So we basically have to wait. So, Leo, if you want, you can get a cup of tea. And
how long is this going to take?
It takes like a minute or two.
All right.
So this is going to be fun. So one of the things, though,
you should be patient. You shouldn't get freaked out by the fact this is taking a while. But at what point should I go, uh-oh?
I would just wait.
Like later the next day?
If it's the next day, you might have a problem. But one of the things is,
That is the number one thing people do wrong on this. Get impatient and go, it's not working, and they disconnect it or reset or something. That's where you can get in trouble.
Not the greatest idea. Yeah. But once we get this set up and
it's a little pineapple.
We have some things happening with the iPod. Once we do this, though, what exactly are we going to do with the jailbroken device?
Moving applications.
Yeah, a jailbroken device, though, we can do so much more. And like one of the silly things that I really love, and this is something I've played with since I was a young computer user, I love widgets. You remember Confabulator for Mac OS X before Yahoo bought them and made them a widget engine?
Yeah.
Like, I bought Confabulator. One of the silly things you can do is bring things that Android's had forever. Like, you can add widgets.
You mean I can have desktop widgets now?
You can have desktop widgets. You can change the keyboard, which is something Apple never lets you do. You can change the default keyboard if you want. You want five icons across the way. Pretty much every little thing that Apple wants to control, you can control at this point.
Now, one thing we probably should have mentioned is before you do this process, do hook up your iOS device to iTunes and sync and get a full backup made. Because if the worst happens or you don't like it, you can always then do a restore and put the old firmware back on there. Most of the time, that's doable. And restore your old apps, and you'll be back the way you used to be. To be honest, I stopped jailbreaking iOS devices because it didn't seem to enhance the reliability, and I didn't feel the need for a lot of these apps. But there are a few apps that people really, really like. Make sure you back up before you do it. Smart
Why
guy.
Why don't you start messing with the actual antenna?
So I can aim
start
it?
Moving it around. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead. Well, start moving around. We might see.
So this is where I get up on the roof. And you go, Leo, turn it to the left. Okay, so I need to see a TV signal.
Pretty much. So if we can show the actual signal strength, it's going to be changing on my screen.
Is this going to shock me?
It shouldn't. You're not, unless the lightning strikes you from through
the
building.
Okay, but it's pretty good. It's 80%. It's going up, and I'm going the other way.
Yeah, so you're messing around with that. We're just playing around.
90, look at that. Look at that.
Now, what we're looking at, there's actually a lot of data here, right? So we have signal strength.
It's because it's bouncing off of stuff, right?
Probably.
There's multipath in UHF.
We got signal strength, signal quality.
Whoa,
that's really
it's
good.
It's green. Oh, don't move. Okay, wait a minute. What if I lift my leg?
I did
is
not
it better?
Expect that to work at all.
Look at that. Oh. What happened?
Hang on. I'm actually going to view the channel.
Now
and
I
see
can't
it.
Move.
Don't move, Leo, because you have PBS running right now. I can't believe he got that to work. I have this. Okay, that's impressive. So what you need to do is get your own Leo
Laporte.
Because,
you know, I have a lot of metal plates in my body.
Well, see, what happened? Shockingly, all it required was Leo to dance.
Now, that station is not a San Francisco station.
No,
that's a fairly nearby
that's
station.
Local.
Can we get any San Francisco stations?
I seriously doubt it, but, you know, if you want to try it, let's
do
it.
Can I go up on the roof? Did you go up on the roof?
I did not have the opportunity to go to the roof.
You could at least maybe go out the door.
I'll go out the door.
Yeah, we have enough cable. Go for it.
Do we have enough cable?
Can we get somebody behind him to get this cable so we don't have everything ripped off the desk?
The only issue is me getting back in because the door's going to lock behind me. So, Liz, if you just hold the door, that's the most important thing. So how's it working so far? Is it better?
I need to see 163 degrees, which is which direction?
Oh, there's the fire department. I guess this isn't a violation of fire laws. How's that?
1 second, Leo. I am looking. Your signal is not very good.
163, huh?
You need to get 163, yeah. Can we get a...
Yeah, 163? Good. Okay, maybe if I go on the street, because the building might be in the way.
All right, hang on. Let me actually look for it. Somebody get him a compass out there?
Where's the compass?
I'm going to get the compass app right now.
Okay, just tell me which way to face, Iaz.
You got it. 163 is... Where is this? Watch me spin, folks. 163.
I'll face that way. Which... Close to that?
Point that way.
That way. Okay, I'm facing 163. Okay, what do we got?
We're not getting a heck of a lot better because this is...
If I go up on the roof, it might be better.
Yeah, so...
Why does it say danger on here?
Because if you were going to put that on the roof, you might have... It might attract lightning, so you have to ground that properly.
It's a pretty clear day. I think I'm safe.
Yeah, so...
No, we're just trying to get the World Series. Don't... It's okay. No, we're trying to get... Because Channel 2, we don't... Yeah.
It's actually Channel 7 over here. Oh, Channel 7 is what we're trying to get in right now.
Oh, okay.
But right now, obviously, this is not the best way to do it. You don't send a man out in the street. But it does work.
Go Giants!
The first thing you got to do is you got to download Mountain Lion. And you can see, you know, we're going
to
head...
You need a Mac to do this.
You're going to need a Mac to do this.
All right, so let's start. I'll write this all down as we go here.
So as you can see, it's only going to take us a total of, you know, like 48 minutes, right? It's only a 4 gigabyte file.
How many steps am I going to need? A lot of room on the chalkboard?
I think step one, download Mountain Lion will be good. For timing, we've decided to download this ahead of time because it takes a really, really long time to download that, depending on your speed.
Okay, Frobisher, that's step one. Get a copy of Mountain Lion. Either download it yourself or get a friend to download it. But wait a minute. It's on the hard drive. How do I get it off the hard drive?
Once you have it on a hard drive, now you're going to start using some tools. You're going to have to prep a USB key. Now, you're going to need a USB key that's 8 gigabytes or larger.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to prep this. Now, again, all the steps are up. We'll have the links. They're all up at TonyMacX86. .com. We'll have links at twit.tv/KH. So we're going to prep this key.
This stuff, by the way, a lot of Mac people do to make a bootable OS X install disk. So you'll find this all over the internet and how to do this. Right. Pretty straightforward.
So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to put the USB key in. We're going to run disk utility. And if you see my screen, you're going to have the instructions on the left and you'll have your things on the right. Very simple. You're going to set a partition. We're going to name it. Let's name it.
You're using Apple's own disk utility to do this. It's a little harder to do this if you don't have a Macintosh.
There is a method to do this without a Macintosh if you so desire. But right. I happen to have one and
it's
access to one.
Yeah.
And right now I'm setting up
Or get a friend with a Mac to help you out.
Yeah, you're going to do the master boot record. Again, there's lots and lots of little steps when you're doing this. So right. I'm gonna use this key right now. Obviously, I've recorded this because it takes about 5 to 10 minutes to set up your USB key. So we're going to set up the USB key,
And I presume you're using the MS-DOS FAT file system. Yes, I see that.
No, we're going to switch that to Mac OS Extended Journaled. Do not use the case-sensitive version.
Okay.
Again, there are lots of little steps. Please,
follow those
please
all.
Pay attention to each and every one of them. We're going to apply this, and we're going to partition this little hard drive. And so that's going to take a little bit. So that's the next thing you got to do is get the operating system on this. How are we going to do that, Leo?
Well, the operating system is actually within that file that you downloaded that says install OS X Mountain Lion. So you right-click on it or you command-click on it, you open the package in, and you go deep inside it, and you'll find an install ESD file. That's actually the largest file in there. It's a 4-gigabyte file. It's the installer.
And that's difficult. There's a tool built by TonyX86.
You have a way to do that?
It's called UniBeast. It's
impressive.
Really easy. Surprisingly easy.
So UniBeast.
UniBeast. Now.
All right. So prep the key with HTNF USB key.
It'll be on the show notes. I promise. You'll prep the key. It's gonna have. I believe it's Mac. It's not HFS Plus. It's what is it? Now you're catching me on this one.
I'm so sorry.
Mac OS Extended Journaled. Excuse me.
Journaled and not case sensitive.
Right, not case sensitive. You're going to apply the partition.
And then use Tony's trick here, Tony's tool.
TonyMacX86.com.
And his tool moved that file onto the key.
As you can see, Thankfully, you don't have to do this, by the way. Go to twit.tv/KH. We'll have everything there for you. We'll have this nice and ready to go. We won't have any free mustaches, unfortunately.
What are you talking about?
Excuse me, we can't help
you. I grew this myself for Movember.
Well, it's one day in. That's excellent.
I'm a very hairy family.
I've got to go back to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, UniBeast makes everything super easy. You got to go to Tony Mac x86. You have to register. Now, registration is free, and the software is free. So it does basically all the work for you, and it's free. So we're going to go and install
this.
Write
this down. TonyMacX86.com.
That is like a great guide. I mean, it used to be a lot of different places like OSX86.org or something like that. I used to use these sites. But this
has everything you need for doing a Hackintosh. Is it all on there?
Pretty much everything you need. It's got the best guides. It's got the best tools, and they're free. So we're just going to go and install UniBeast Mac app. Right. So we're going to keep going doing this. Hit agree. And you can see you're going to put it on the USB key. And then
You need to create a master boot record USB key. There's a few things that Windows does differently to boot. Apple uses EFI. Windows uses BIOS. Mm-hmm. Apple doesn't have a master boot record. Windows does. So all of this you have to do right. That's why Tony is so important.
Right. This is really helpful. And on top of that, by the way, if you have a laptop, you have to click this little box that says laptop support. Let's see. Can you get that larger? This is right there. It says laptop support. I'm not going to be doing this on a laptop, so I need to click this. If you have an older version of an older motherboard, they need legacy USB support. So you're going to have to check for your particular hardware because this is for Chad's machine. And so what we're doing is we're going to continue going this way.
There are other ways to do this.
Yes.
Tony Mac is just one.
Tony Mac
is
one of the easiest ways I've found to do this. It's one of the most complete ways to find everything because otherwise you're hunting all over the web as opposed to finding all these tools in one location.
Right.
So we're going to keep installing this on the USB key. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to type in your password because you're making some changes. But what you're going to see is when you're putting this together, when you're installing and configuring and writing the files, you'll see an amount of time is going to appear right around here. About a minute, right? It claims about a minute. Okay, that number is going to swell. It's going to go to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours.
So we
six
probably
days.
Won't do that in real time.
Oh no! It there's some kind of bug in the actual software.
Oh, okay.
It only takes about 30 minutes.
Oh, that's
so
a
like
relief.
If you see it saying 20 hours, take a break, take a walk, come back. It'll be ready in about 30 minutes because it's for some reason that the progress bar is messed up. That's the biggest weird thing about installing this. And after about 30 minutes, let's see if I can get this thing going. About 30 minutes, it'll be ready.
Oh, so this is, you're clever. This is a video of you doing this.
I did this yesterday. So,
so watch it jump because this is, boom.
Done. It's already done. So now we have a key.
All right. That's a bootable USB key with OS X Mountain Lion on it.
Right.
All right.
Effectively,
hey, let's write a battleship game. Okay, we'll do the spinning motor first.
Actually, that'd be kind of neat.
Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
So, like, the ship itself kind of sinks and moves out of the... Well, okay, we'll think of that later. All right, so what I'm going to do is just start hooking up wires. Now, it comes with a whole bunch of colored wires, but it doesn't really matter what color it is. On the actual schematic, they're color-coded, so you know what is what, but they don't correspond to anything, so don't worry. It's just all wires anyway. So let's actually hook this up. It's pretty simple. Give me this in close.
I heard that Ben Heck did... use this to make luggage, robotic luggage that followed him, thanks to sonar in his genes.
He did some crazy things. Ben Heck is a god, actually, when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Crazy.
But this, you have to learn how to start somewhere, right?
Yep.
Before you can go ahead.
Before we make the luggage that follows you, let's just make a fan spin.
All right, so let's make it. It could be a fan. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to keep putting these wires in. So we got, let's see here.
Somebody in the chat room, a tourist, is pointing out that this Arduino, the processor, the microcontroller in the Arduino, is actually a fairly sophisticated processor. You're playing with something that's a real computer. He says more powerful than, let's say, a Commodore 64.
So we're going to line this up. B5. Very
exciting. But it is low power. In fact, it'll use the USB port from your computer to power it.
Yes, it is a 5-volt adapter. That's not included, but you can power it with USB, which we will do momentarily.
Or you could plug it into the wall. Sure.
6A. Yeah, I actually have it.
You buy that additional thing. Yeah.
And I'm going to attach the servo itself, which is, let's see, E567.
So this is pretty basic.
I think the hardest thing to do is to literally be able to read the
hardware. Putting things in holes.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
So far, so good. If you can handle that, we're going to connect this to power, though.
Okay.
So this is to 5 volt. Everything's labeled on this side once we get over there.
I guess you could, by miswiring, you could burn this thing out, right?
If you really got to try.
You pumped 5 volts into this CPU or something, right?
I haven't been able to screw it up
yet. You haven't broken it yet.
No.
That's a good sign.
I might break it right now.
Let's see. All right.
So now we got it wired up, right?
Okay. So this is from the diagram, and this is one of the projects that the kit comes with.
This won't work because there's an extra wire.
Oh, you've learned something.
Right away.
Whenever there's an extra wire, that means you left something out.
7A into pin 9. All right, real simple.
So this is one of their they have quite a few, it looks
like.
Lots 12 of different, 14 different circuits that you can create.
Right.
This is a single servo server.
Okay, well, right now that shouldn't do anything unless we actually program it. So now we have the wiring set up.
They even give you code. Now, this looks very much like C.
Yeah. So I think it's based on it. It's really, for me, it's more about figuring out how it works. I'm really bad at remembering what is what.
And then in the booklet, they'll show you exactly what you're doing, what to put where. They'll give you code samples. They'll say 3 things to try if it's not working. Mm-hmm. And then, and I love this, that for kids, this is a great idea, some ideas for making it better, something you might want to add to this.
So right now, we attach a USB cable, and we download the Arduino software, which is available for free.
Okay.
And we can actually put a program.
Should I hold a little fan up, or is this thing going to spin?
It might, if I get this to work right.
All right. So let's look at the code, because now it's all about code, right?
So we're going to go into File. This happens to be an example. Now, if you go into Arduino File Examples Servo, we're going to do a sweep.
I like this. This came with it.
Yeah, so this came with it. So what we're going to do is we're going to load it to the actual Arduino here. So we're going to hit upload, which is this little arrow.
So this has, via the USB cable that you've got connected to your computer, this has not only power, but it's also can get data.
Right, so it's going
to... So you can actually load it in. So it must have a little operating system on it.
So it's uploaded, and now we're looking around. Why is nothing spinning, Leo?
It should be spinning now?
Yep, it should be making a noise. So now we're going to check our connections, because...
Did you run the program?
Mm-hmm. It's automatic.
Done uploading.
Let's see if everything's lined up. Excuse me. So this is going to happen from time to time, so don't worry about it. Let's take a look at your... Okay, we'll give it to this.
Now, we also got your Raspberry Pi, which is a similar idea, although it's a full computer in a kit. Are you going to sometime...
That is coming up.
Are you going to graduate to that from the Arduino?
I've got a crazy project.
You probably plugged it into the wrong hole is what you did.
That's likely.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's a little tricky. I mean, there's a lot of different...
Yeah, I'm just trying to see what's going on here.
Holy cow. Something's going on now.
So now right now we got the servo moving, and if you look at the code, you can actually see there's a bunch of variables involved. Now this is actually not sticking in very well, so I just need to keep that in there. Would you mind, Mr. Laporte?
I had a feeling that was coming.
I appreciate it.
All right, I'll hold that down. Okay.
Right, you can see the servo.
Okay, so now you're going to change the code and see if we can change what happens with that little...
Yeah.
Thing. It's oscillating. It's going back and forth.
Now, one of the things about this is with the example code, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's commented out that's not used in the code, but you can use to learn. Now, this is how I learned to do a lot of things. So it says goes from 0 degrees to 180 degrees. So we can change this positioning here to, like, let's say 270 degrees.
This is exactly the kind of thing that the guy who did the door opener had to do to shoot the lock.
Mm-hmm.
You might then add other code to sense vibration, and they have sensors... to do all kinds of things.
I'm going to change the delay to like 3 milliseconds. Let's hit that and upload it.
And upload it. So we're now changing the code. That's why this stopped.
And on the bottom here it says uploading.
Oh, look at that. Now it's going back and forth faster.
It's changing the pattern. So this is how you learn.
Look at you, you little programmer, you.
This is how you start.
Oh.
I mean, this is Arduino 101. We're trying to figure out how to make this stuff work.
No, but can I tell you something? For a kid... To write code and then see it actually have a real-world impact is fantastic.
For a kid, for me, I was like, oh, it's working, finally. I was just super psyched. I mean, it's one thing to write code and, you know, work
in... I, as a simple man with simple dreams. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this little time travel back through memory lanes.
That was
a great episode.
Quite a wild year,
When did Know How go?
Sometime in July, I think. A long time ago.
You got a lot done in just 6 months. Well, we got a lot more ahead for the year 2013. What are some of the projects working on?
We've got some crazy projects coming up next year. I'm really excited about it. We're going to be doing some wireless repeater stuff in a winery. We're going to be seeing all kinds of fun things. I just watch, subscribe.
You haven't done a bit of work, have you?
I've got a list.
You have no idea what we're doing.
I might have some. Just a tiny bit.
You know what I'd like to suggest?
What's
Can
that?
We make a hat that dances? Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you next Thursday on Know How.
giving me a headache.
You need a helmet under that.
It's like it's pounding on my head with the bell. I need a drink.